Twin pregnancies have historically been considered high risk, especially in the past when we couldn't ensure the safety of the baby or mother. However, a 2021 paper published in Human Reproduction reveals that twins are being born now more than ever before. While the researchers think that medically assisted reproduction, like IVF, is a factor in this rise, Dr. Joan A. Friedman, a psychotherapist and twin expert, says a woman's age plays a part as well.
They've also found out, too, now that you have a higher percentage of having fraternal twins if you're older. And it's because as women get older, they tend to overovulate and they can drop 2 eggs during a cycle as opposed to one. And so that's a part of being older. And that's why a lot of older women find themselves, when they only wanted one child, having two.
CDC data suggests that women are getting pregnant later in life, with 20% in the U.S. having their first child after age 35. Friedman herself is an identical twin.
I was born many years ago and there were no twins. So it was before IVF and everything. So twins were always very special, quite a spectacle, you know, and my parents certainly didn't know what to do with us. And the reason I have my A in my name is because my parents couldn't give us a middle name. They were so overwhelmed. So I'm born first. So I'm Joan A and my sister's Jane B. So people go, why do you always want your A in there? It's because it's part of who I am. It's very important.
Friedman says her parents were swept up in the common perception of twins, which is that they are essentially the same person split into two bodies.
My mom dressed us alike until we were 10, which is when I think about it or say it. It's mind-boggling to me. It only stopped because either, I don't know if it was me or my sister, finally said, enough already.
Along with the identical styles, Friedman's parents decided their daughters would share a bedroom and bathroom. Even though there was more than enough space for separate rooms, they thought the twins wouldn't want to be split up.
It was like we were a couple. And it could have been so simple to say, okay, you sleep here, you know, you can sleep downstairs. But that was never in anyone's consciousness that you actually might have wanted some privacy or some individuality or maybe your own room or maybe your own choice about how you wanted to do things. It just wasn't in anyone's mind to do that because twins were twins and twins were special and twins needed to be together.
And so Friedman and her sister grew up exactly alike. Same classes, same activities, same friends. There was never any encouragement to be her own person. Eventually, even their names became one.
My father couldn't figure out, he would call us Jayone because he couldn't figure out who was who. My grandparents couldn't figure out who was who. And it sounds funny, but you know, when you're so old and people can't figure out your name or who you are, it's such a narcissistic blow.
So when Friedman found out she was pregnant with twins at age 40, she vowed to be the parent she needed growing up. She knew it would be different than raising her three previous children and spent the pregnancy thinking of the best strategy to parent twins as two individuals.
You know, I got all caught up in my things and my thinking and my philosophy and my ideas, which were really back then very controversial. Because when I started to say what twins really need is one-on-one time with each parent, it's like, no, we don't want to do that. It's not fair. We can't separate them. You know, they're going to miss each other. And it felt like King Solomon, you know, I'm making you split this baby in half and that's what you have to do. So it was a lot of sort of teaching people the idea about the importance of the attachment, that the parent-child attachment was much more important than the twin-to-twin attachment.
Friedman made sure to carve out dedicated one-on-one time with each of her sons, then took it a step further. She wanted them to feel comfortable and strong on their own without a partner to always fall back on. In order to achieve this goal, she rejected the stereotypical idea of twins being connected in every aspect of life.
We sent them to different activities. I took them to different toddler groups and never told anyone that they were twins because I couldn't stand it because I'd spent my whole life, oh, you're a twin, you're a twin. It's like, enough. So then we sent to separate day camps. They went to separate overnight camps. They went to separate community service countries.
All so her boys could realize that they were resilient enough to stand on their own. That's not to say that they enjoyed it. Friedman says it was difficult for them, especially with one being more introverted than the other. But she believes it was the best way to prepare them for a future going to separate colleges and living apart from one another. This personal case study started Friedman down a path of counseling other twins through their unique issues.
And that's hard for twins to find someone who really understands what they're going through, because twins feel ashamed if they're not best friends, if they're fighting, if they're not getting along. Their parents feel like they failed if their twins are fighting. You know, it's just working through this morass of twin perceptions, and it prevents them from getting the help and the understanding that they need.
Friedman says she sees twins of all ages, not just teens trying to work through the stress of growing up. These issues can follow siblings for a lifetime.
So many of the requests for people who come to see me for help are twins in their 30s, 40s, 50s. I even had a couple in their 80s who were having so much trouble getting along, and they just needed like a mediator, because twins can be couples in conflict, and they just needed a mediator to listen to each of their points of view so that they could try to find their common way back to their love and their connection and their bond.
A bond that's thought to be unbreakable, but Friedman says can often be brittle and fragile.
This whole idea of their connection is kind of infused with this idea, the world is going to treat you the same and equal all the time. And life happens. And of course, life's never the same for anyone.
Unfortunately, this isn't the message that many twins grow up with. They're in the same classes, activities, and friend groups. They share clothes and cars and birthdays. Like Friedman's parents, many people try to keep twins together as one for as long as possible, thinking that that's the best decision for their kids. And though the bond this creates is unique and special, there's also some problematic factors that are too often ignored.
The problematic things are the competition, and the comparison, and the need to keep a lot of that under wraps, and a need to also not have a lot of differences. Because once the differences implode, either externally or internally, the twin relationship doesn't have the capacity to deal with conflict. You know, conflict can only be resolved if you're separate and if you agree to disagree. And twins aren't separate enough and aren't individuated enough to agree to disagree. Their whole bond is based on being the same.
Lacking a strong sense of self and identity can make personal growth really tough. And seemingly small things like dressing your twins in matching outfits can affect individuality. Friedman says that is what's most important when raising twins, not making sure the pair is always together and equal, but teaching them that they are an individual before they are a sibling.
Nobody takes individual pictures of each twin. They're all together. They're all so cute. You know, everyone wants to see them together. And, you know, when you need a picture for a soccer team or you need something where there's alone, there never is one. So I always advocate a picture together, a picture alone with mom and dad and the other siblings, because this twin not only belongs to the twin, but he also belongs to the family unit as an individual. I was talking to this little girl, she was 8 years old, a twin, and she goes, "It really hurts my feelings that my friends don't care enough about me to know who I am." So all these little things might seem funny or silly or stupid, but they kind of mount up, you know, they build up and they build up inside of you, and it makes you really struggle.
So as a parent of twins and a twin herself, Friedman offers tips to parents on how to create a healthy bond instead of a resentful relationship that she and many of her patients experienced. Just like with all children, it's important to teach them that everything isn't always equal. And though it could seem over the top to some, Friedman suggests putting twins in different classrooms or schools if possible. She argues that this separation gives them the opportunity to learn important social interactions without a crutch to lean on.
They have to grow up sharing everything, love, time, attention, parents, and friends. And it's a drag. And by sharing friends, they never actually learn how to make a friend, because they've never made a friend on their own. And I hear this so often from adult twins, which is why I'm sort of focusing on it, is that learning how to make friends is something you learn in preschool, all that stuff. But you go to preschool with a security blanket and you don't learn any of those things.
And as Friedman mentioned earlier, spending one-on-one time with each child is critical to their personal development. While the bond between siblings is special, at the end of the day, every child needs a parent.
Parents kind of sometimes recede into the background. They don't understand that twins need actually a lot of one-on-one time, that they need help separating from each other. They need experiences where they can be apart from one another. They need to have an understanding that they can be on their own without their twin and they can be okay. I mean, there's so many things parents don't understandably think about because they're kind of guided by these perceptions about what twins should be rather than what they need.
You can find more information about Dr. Joan A. Friedman and all of our guests on our website, radiohealthjournal.org. For more behind the scenes, follow Radio Health Journal on Facebook, Instagram, and X. Our writer-producer is Kristen Farah. Our executive producer is Amira Zaveri. I'm Elizabeth Westfield. Coming up next week on Radio Health Journal.
When we have these ideas lodged deeply in our heads of what a genius looks like or that it doesn't look like a young woman, then we end up with those great problems.
Recognizing the women who've advanced science throughout history.
But first, why do some patients have to fight to get a diagnosis?
There's a certain population that completely dismisses what is coming out of a patient and or a parent's mouth if they don't hold that coveted medical degree.
All that and more on Radio Health Journal.
I'm Greg Johnson, host of Radio Health Journal. If you enjoy listening to Radio Health Journal, you'll also like our sister show, Viewpoints, which covers a wide array of topics from education to history to the environment. Here's a preview of what they're covering this week on Viewpoints.
We know the research shows that there's increased loneliness across basically all age levels.
A child or a teen may have straight A's, but that doesn't mean they're set for success. Then,
whether it's an exam or negotiating in a high-stakes meeting or a cross-country race, you can't just sort of go in there and wing it and hope for the best.
We speak with a high-profile performance psychologist on what it takes to be your very best. I'm Marty Peterson.
And I'm Gary Price. These stories in depth this week on your public affairs magazine, Viewpoints.
Thank you for joining us this week and every week as we break down the science stories you need to know. You can find all of our past segments and guests on our website, radiohealthjournal.org, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and X for daily content. And tune in next week for another edition of Radio Health Journal.